Lecture 21, Royal Power in 17th Century France.
Up until this point, the various units, the various lectures in this course, have examined four related and overlapping conflicts in different parts of early modern Europe. And what's been common to all of these units has been the theme of political unity and disunity. Now, we have reviewed the fact that, of course, one person's unity is another person's tyranny, and one person's disunity may be someone else's anarchy. But nonetheless, it's been pretty clear that in every unit we've seen how a complex interaction of religious forces, political conflicts, social conflicts, and economic conflicts tore apart the states of France, the Netherlands, the Holy Roman Empire, or contemporary Germany, and the British Isles over the period 1560 to 1660. What we're going to do in the remaining lectures of this course is to return to the French case. And the reason for that is that the French case is really quite different from all of the other cases we've looked at thus far for two key reasons. In the first place, the ultimate degree of disintegration, the degree of political disintegration in France, was really far greater than in the Netherlands, in Germany, or in the British Isles. The breakdown of central authority went much further, it was much more extensive, and lasted for an awful lot longer. Second of all, the other key difference between the French case and our other cases is that the final outcome of all of these conflicts was a very different kind of state, a state far more powerful and far more centralized than the political systems which obtained elsewhere in Western and Central Europe. In other words, both the initial threats to and the ultimate restoration or imposition of unity were much more extensive in France than elsewhere in early modern Europe. And therefore, these last threats, the final threats during the 17th century to the French state, and the final victory of the French state around the middle of the 17th century, will be the focus of the last couple of lectures in this course. Now, the French state is very commonly referred to, at least in the early modern period, as an absolutist state. This is really a highly problematic term, and a lot of the time in the lectures that follow are going to be spent in trying to make sense of what absolutism really meant. It certainly is true that during the 17th and during the 18th centuries, French kings were given to rather extravagant claims of power. Louis XIV, at one point, being grumpy about the failure of one of his wars, is at least reputed to have said, "God seems to have forgotten everything that I've done for him," in a very expansive sense of his place on the planet. But nonetheless, for all of these formal claims, for all the declarations that came pouring out of presses loyal to the French crown, the practical political reality was really quite different. And it needs to be stressed that absolutism in early modern France certainly did not mean that the king could do whatever he wanted. No absolutist monarch in early modern Europe ever approached the power held by 20th century dictators like Hitler or Stalin or systems like the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. Nonetheless, when we make all qualifications about the power of an absolute monarch, I think we do have to admit that it is at the same time clear that the 17th century French crown often acted with remarkable arbitrariness, and that the crown by 1660 was much stronger than had been the case 100 years earlier. And therefore, the following lectures will analyze three key aspects of absolutism in 17th century France. First of all, what were the mechanisms of increased power and control? What were the institutions, the tools, which allowed French kings to translate their extravagant claims into reality? Second of all, what kinds of allies and enemies did the crown acquire in its drive to absolutism? Who was opposed? Which interests, which constituencies in Europe were opposed to the increase in royal power? And which constituencies were attracted to this idea? Third of all, what were the limits of the increase in royal power? And moreover, what was the nature of the resistance to the French crown? And indeed, how effective was that resistance to the French crown? I think it's worth adding parenthetically at this point that the French model of a monarchic state was widely imitated all over Europe. It was widely admired, in fact. At least as far as rulers were concerned, the French monarchy was the kind of state you wanted to have. And French fashion, French royal etiquette, French royal architecture, indeed, would be copied all over Europe in the later 17th and 18th centuries.